Good morning.
Whew.
Yeah, it's me, Doug. I do have a beard. Spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, thanks to my job, so this is necessary for survival up there. Happy New Year, by the way. So at work, our fiscal year just started this past week, so it is a new year for me. How are you guys doing on your New Year's resolutions? How many of you lost all the weight you wanted so far? How about the exercise? Getting those awesome legs, thank you. How about your spiritual growth? You guys staying on course, doing all those cool things? Good, good. So we're going through Acts in 50 days, right? Well, some of us need to be caught up, so we're going to take a break from Acts. So we can get caught up to that, the messages going on there. I'm going to be here the next 3 weeks. Okay, all right, nobody left. That's good. And so I'm really excited about this. When we met back in the summer and started planning out the 2018-2019 year, I just really had on my heart a series I wanted to do with this church. It's been kind of percolating for a couple of months, so it should be really good, right? I sure hope so. It doesn't look like it so far. But along the way, we stopped for a little bit, and the last time I spoke up here, we talked about the Old Testament. So if you remember that, I had the big charts and compared the Old and New Testament and compared where mankind has lived in their relationship to God, and I'm going to kind of continue that today. So what I'd like you to do is kind of, what is the first question that is recorded in the Bible from a person, from a man? And I'm going to let you percolate on that. And while you think about that, please don't look in Wikipedia or Google. Or if you want to read through the book of Genesis while I'm talking, that's okay too. But what I want to commit today is what I hope to accomplish in the next 3 weeks with everybody in this room. So let's see here. All right. So as you think about your relationship to Darby Creek, is this statement true? Or is this statement true? Is this statement true? Or is this statement more appropriate? Okay. Greg warned me that might happen. Or is that statement more true? So the difference there is I appreciate the people or I am needed by the people at my church. And hopefully you're getting the my, I made it green and capitalize it so it's easier to see. And then if those two are true, is your question, am I strong enough to be that integral person at my church? Or is the question, I'm not strong enough to be that integral person, how can I be? And hopefully you've not been asked these questions a whole lot, otherwise this is going to be a really boring series to you. So I brought up your resolutions that we all wanted to start January 1st, and frankly, I've done a terrible job of mine because it's hard. It is hard work. But I hope that by the end of this month, we've done this three-week journey, and you've done some retrospective inflection or whatever of yourself, and you thought about it at least during the week, that by the end of this month, we go into March, and we're at a whole new level of churching here at Darby Creek. This little church can do so much for the kingdom of God. And I really want to especially challenge this side of the room. If you have been going to Darby Creek your whole life, would you stand up? Your whole life. If you have gone to Darby Creek for half of your life, stand up. All right, rookies. So, all right, sit back down. So I want to challenge that group that has spent more than half of their life as part of Darby Creek. How are you going to own Darby Creek at a new and higher level so we can win more for Christ? Does that sound good? And everybody else, you're welcome to come along. Okay? All right, our Dearly Father, we just want to thank you so much for the lives that you've given us. Thank you for the journey you've put us on, what you've carried us through, what you've walked alongside us with. Just ask God that we would take this time together, make the most use of it, for the kingdom is at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. So, who can tell me what the very first question asked by a man was? Okay. That's recorded in the Bible. Satan did ask questions, and those were earlier questions, but I'm specifically made by a human being. Why me, Lord? That one was asked quite a bit. But it's actually this. Isn't that amazing? We get through four chapters. We're outside of the garden. We're into second generation of humankind before the first question asked by a man is recorded. Pretty amazing. Now, the circumstances around it are terrible. What are the circumstances around this question? Anyone? Murder. So Adam and Eve, they broke the law. Got a page there. And they broke the law of God's commandment, and God's commandment was, hey, you may eat of anything in the garden except for this one tree. And what happens when you tell anybody you can't do that one thing? They go and do that one thing. So they get kicked out of the garden. And they have children. So their first child's name was Cain. Second child's name was Abel. But Adam and Eve had some relationship with God that they taught their children about. And their children knew a right way and a wrong way to worship God. Abel worshiped God in the right way. God said to Cain, hey, Cain, don't fail, but if you follow me, if you learn to worship me the way I want, you will succeed. So Cain's response was that stinking, rotten Abel. And he goes out and kills him. So God approaches Cain and says, hey, Cain, where's your brother Abel? I don't know, my brother's keeper. And God says, what have you done, Cain? Your brother's blood yells from the ground. So that's where we get this question. Now, the way that Cain was asking it is probably sarcastic, because when we look back just a couple of verses here in Genesis 4, so we find out about how Cain and Abel came about, basic biology. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. What's another name for a keeper of sheep? A shepherd. So Abel was a shepherd, and it may be that Cain was making a play on words. Am I the shepherd of my brother? And from that comes that question. So a couple of things that a shepherd most probably does. I've never been a shepherd. I don't think I've even ever touched a sheep. But they care for their sheep. They provide for their sheep. They lead their sheep. So, hey, we're going to take the sheep this way or away from danger. We're going to go to green pastures. Feeds their sheep, treats and aids their sheep, and then protects their sheep. So this is all something that you could take that analog and apply it to our lives, don't you think? And anybody who has some good social conscience probably would want to do those things anyway. Unfortunately, we read about pastors and we read about churches and we read about other organizations where the leadership has collapsed. And a lot of that time, I think the way that a church gets there is that there is too much consumerism when it comes to a church versus personal investment and ownership of my church. And I really, and this isn't meant to be accusatory or indictment of anybody that does attend Darby Creek or listens to Darby Creek, but what can we do to really go to that next level and really make this is my church? these are my people that I hang out with, that I'm walking this journey of life. So, you know, honestly, throughout the Bible, there's a lot of scripture that was written, whether it was in the law or just personal experiences that people had in the Old and New Testament about how they were my brother's keeper. And we see Judeo-Christian values that really hold on to that have done a lot throughout the history of mankind. It was the Judeo-Christian value system that has developed healthcare and hospital systems and orphanages and have addressed the needs of food. So how do we have clean food and water out there? And it's really been people that come from that culture that have really changed and really addressed the needs of anybody in their neighborhood. So it is a really good thing. But I want to go beyond what social justice and social things might look like. So a couple of scriptures, you guys are welcome to write these down. I'm not going to throw them up on the slides or anything. But just really wanted to run through these. So in Leviticus, you know, this is the recording of part of the law. And Leviticus 19, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. So the things that fell off as you were harvesting the corn and the grain and whatever. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. So God is saying, hey, you are responsible for other people. So in the blessings that you've gotten from your crops, leave some behind so others can come and pick up on that. Does anybody remember a Bible story where that really played out? Ruth, right? Ruth goes to Boaz's fields and gleans, and each day the Boaz kind of hears about Ruth out there, they leave more and more of the field. So it might have been something going on there. Boaz was being extra helpful to Ruth. Verse 11, you shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another. So there's a expectation that is beyond buyer beware. We are to be upfront with people and be very honest, right? That's the expectation from the Word of God. Verse 16, you shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. So there's integrity. You're not going to pile on. Has anybody ever seen piling on? So I was talking to our group last night, and it really struck me that, unfortunately, a lot of times the press and social media, it's like the Roman Colosseum, right? And everybody in the Colosseum is looking at that person that's been thrown in the middle of the floor to be beaten up by either these Roman centurions or eaten by a lion or something like that, and they're just cheering it on, right? And there is no justice there. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor. And why will you do that? Lest you incur sin because of him. So this idea of, hey, let's talk about differences. Let's get together. If we don't agree on something, let's find some common theme. At least we're both humans. And let's move forward from there, right? You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall, the second greatest command, love your neighbor as yourself, right? So again, socially this makes a lot of sense. Do we live to at least that level here at Darby Creek? Absolutely, I believe we do. So Deuteronomy 15, if among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Now, what I like about this, it does open up this idea in social context that we are in this together, we do help each other, but there's some limits, right? One of the limits is sufficient for his need. So, while we do help each other, it's not that person now becomes released from any responsibility to care for themselves. We're helping that person move along further along in life. Deuteronomy 16, you shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God has given you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. You shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land the Lord your God has given you. So I believe everybody in this room really is pro-justice, right? And justice is something that we need to stand up for. And really, we're called to, if someone can't stand up for their own justice, we should be there for them. In Job, so Job has been called out by God to this council of angels, and he says, hey, take a look at Job. There is no human that is more faithful than Job. And Satan says, well, that's because you give him everything. And God is so convinced of Job's ability to withstand trials that he says, hey, Satan, have at it. Go ahead and give him these trials. So Job goes through these terribly horrible things that any human would have to go through short of death. He loses his children. He loses his means of sustenance. He loses his home. And for three verses, his friends are awesome. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that had come upon him, they came each from his own place, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They made an appointment together to come and show him sympathy and comfort him. So here's three guys, they're friends of Job. Hey, you know, we really ought to get together and go check on Job. So it sounds a little cheesy they made an appointment to do that, but hey, at least they're probably of the same caliber of world finance and business, so they have to make an appointment. They all head on out together, and this is what they see. And when they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him, and they raised their voices and wept, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads towards heaven. And they sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was great. So as a keeper of their brother, they just came and mourned with him and suffered with him. Proverbs 3, nice short verse here. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is your power to do it. What can I do for someone? Right? What else could be done for somebody? Do I look at what I have as so little really wouldn't make a difference, or do I go ahead and say, yeah, I could give $5 towards that, or I could go spend an hour with somebody to help them out. So in the early church, we read in Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Devoting themselves to fellowship is so important. I'm going to go be part of this fellowship. Taking a bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. So everybody has everything in common. Isn't that pretty cool? And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, tending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were saved. So this group of people is behaving differently, and people want to be a part of that. And we have definitely seen that as time has gone by, even with Darby Creek, that this little thing that we do differently from what's going on in our neighborhoods really brings more and more people. And then in Acts 4, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. So this continued on. And with great power, the apostles were given to their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who is also called Barnabas, heard about him last week, a Levite, native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money laid at the apostles' feet. So yeah, there's a lot of examples of being my brother's keeper, but these are pretty safe. And back when I was when Greg and I were talking about what we were going to do, and I do want to cast a warning. You know, just because you are your brother's keeper doesn't mean everything's going to be sunshine, Skittles, and puppy dogs, right? It is called sacrifice. It is really getting into areas that you didn't get into on your own, but you're willing to help people. It's not necessarily easy. So I don't want to, by any means, paint that picture. But when we change that Darby Creek is the church I attend to, Darby Creek is my church, there is a higher level of investment of your heart and soul and mind. And I really want to challenge us all to go to a new level. So back when Greg and I were talking about when I would plug in and teach, Ephesians was on my mind. And I really like the church at Ephesus. They're a lot like Darby Creek. So a lot of the members did not grow up with a Judeo-Christian background. They were new to the scriptures. While the Apostle Paul did go to Ephesus to see what's going on, he also had a couple named Priscilla and Aquila go. And Priscilla and Aquila were active in the church. And they actually addressed a young man named Apollos, who was an excellent speaker, whose theology needed tweaked a little bit, and they helped him get there. So you had this mixture of full-time pastors and the laity going together to help launch this church in Ephesus. Ephesus was also in a very prosperous part of that country. Atheism was very big, so there was a lot of pressure against Christianity. And here in Central Ohio, we're not a whole lot different than that. There's a lot of people that would say what we do, what we say, what we believe is crazy, is extreme. So we've got that pressure on us. But this church was effective. They grew, and I just really like them as an example. And then when you get into the letter that Paul writes to them, he really talks about, hey, this is your next level. One of the cool things about the letter to the Ephesians is there isn't, hey, by the way, you guys could do this better, and boy, I sure wish you weren't doing this. There are some letters that Paul writes that he says, I'm coming to discipline you. You guys should not be celebrating this sin. He even tells the church, you should get rid of that person. Get them out of your church. But to the Ephesians, it's this book of, hey, I want you to go on further. I want you to hit this new level of maturity. And that's pretty exciting. If you want to get a little bit more background on the church at Ephesus, go ahead and check out Acts 18 and 19 sometime. So I'm going to jump into Ephesians 4. The first three chapters are really good too. But Ephesians 4 is really where I want us to be for the next 3 weeks. So, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul talking to the church, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of all the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. So, you know, here's Paul saying, hey, walk the walk. There's a super high level of opportunity and expectation for you as a church. So walking that walk, walking in a manner worthy of the calling. When you think about your relationship with Christ, when you think about the level of ministry that you're in, are you all in? Does your life demonstrate that big difference? Bearing with one another. Woo! So I was having a conversation this morning with one of my long-term Darby Creek friends here, and we came across this thing. I kind of did a self-deprecating joke about myself, and this person said, you know I don't mean that. And I said, yeah, I know that you don't mean that. And they said, well, what does that mean? I said, well, you know what that, and anyway, I started digging out a hole that I created for myself. But because of this long trust that we had for each other, we knew how to bear with one another, right? So we were able to say, you know what, who cares about words? We know we love each other, right? We're brothers and sisters. So if I walk the walk, I'm invested in the growth of myself as well as those around me. I'm seeing, are they growing? Am I growing as much as I should be growing? And then it's not just put up with somebody. You know, I can, okay, Doug's got 10 more minutes. I can last 10 more minutes. No, it's with humility and gentleness and patience. And then he wraps it around with love behind that bear with. So you take those four ingredients to mix in there, and we're going to talk later on how can I possibly put up with these people. But those are some of the areas. Where is your heart? Are you growing in humility and gentleness and patience and love? And boy, gentleness for me, I am just a clumsy oaf sometimes when it comes to emotion and words. And Julie's going, yep. So that's an area that I know I need to grow. And then personally maintain the unity of my church. And when Darby Creek is my church, it's important that we have unity in my church. It doesn't mean that we don't have discussions. You know, Lord knows, even back when God was writing the law for the Israelites, he expected people to have frank conversations, to talk through things. But what Paul says here is really cool. He wants us to be eager to maintain unity. So how long are we willing to let something fester, even if it's in our smallest group of groups? And I'm not very good at this. When I'm one-on-one, I got a frustration with Charlie. Boy, I'll just light up Charlie right and left, and Charlie doesn't know about it. And I really don't, Charlie. But we can do that, right? And then that starts bleeding into a little bit bigger groups. Now I'm with my small group, or I'm with my triad that we get together and pray and things like that, and I'm kind of complaining about somebody. So now I'm starting to infect some other people, right? And then I get comfortable with that. Now I go to the small group that there's six or seven of us, and I start complaining about that. And now I'm infecting more and more people. No, I need to be eager to maintain. And that person that I was griping to first, their number one job to me should have been, well, did you go talk to Charlie? Because even the Old Testament says we're supposed to go have frank conversations, right? So are we eager to maintain the unity of my church? All right. So he, being God, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the what? And shepherds do what? They are keepers, right? So these guys are definitely called out to be brothers, keepers, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And whew, if you have not been a student of the Bible, just get used to Paul writing that way. So we were reading in our small group last night, 1 Samuel 20 through 23, and sentences are 8 words long with the period. Saul just, so you have to take some patience and break out what he's saying here, because it's awesome stuff. So when Darby Creek is my church, I get equipped for ministry at Darby Creek. And that is the responsibility of the elders and the folks that are running the different ministries, is to help equip people for ministry. As I grow in ministry, then I'm growing my church's ministry. So I need to be interested in the ministries at Darby Creek. When Darby Creek is my church, I build the body at Darby Creek. I attain unity in the ministry of Darby Creek. I'm united in the things that the Lord has put before the elders and said, this is where we're going to minister. We can't do everything. We want to do what we do really well, and we want everybody all in. and then personally becoming more and more mature. Now, here's a challenge for us all. Are you more mature as a Christian than you were a couple of months ago? A couple of years ago? For those that have been more than half your life at Darby Creek, are you more mature than you were a couple of decades ago? And that's a tough one. Am I really? Do I just go through these cycles where I make little baby steps in my Christian growth? Or have I really put myself enough into Darby Creek that it's caused me to grow? And gang, that's where ministry is. Ministry isn't so much about taking care of the little kids, helping out with the different small group that you're involved with, you know, helping grow the youth group. But it's how do we take that opportunity to see what God's going to do in us? And I'm going to talk later on my last message. I'm going to talk about where the Holy Spirit really comes in to fill that void in your life and stretches you to be the man or woman of God that he wants you to be for the sake of his church and for bringing more people to Christ. Getting involved and equipped for ministry. So getting involved and equipped, and the getting equipped part, you know, we need to work on. We got to get more engaged with each other. Is a great way to boost your personal growth and build relationships, and frankly, to drive you to prayer to attain and maintain unity. So those of us who've been around since day one at Darby Creek, that's 20-some years. It's 25 years. Is that right? There have been times where we are crying together and we are praying together, and we don't know how this church is going to go on. But God comes through, and that grows us. It grows our faith and makes us stronger. It makes room for everybody else to come in and be a part of Darby Creek. All right. Last point here. Yay. So we do that so that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. So you get where Ephesus is, right? So there are very smart people in Ephesus. There are very well-spoken people in Ephesus. Ephesus was a big deal city. I don't think they had NHL hockey then, but that was a great city of commerce and education and things like that. So Paul is talking about, here are all these things that are against you. This cunning, wind of doctrines, deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up. You start this perpetual growth. So I know that this young man that has really invested a lot of himself in his nutrition, in the amount of time he spends in the gym, and he is just becoming more and more powerful. And it's so cool when I see this guy I knew when he was a skinny cross-country runner to now this guy that can deadlift 500 pounds, you know, that's half of a car, right? Well, small car. But it's been taking care of that body and building that body in its every joint. If his foot is injured, he is completely limited on what he can do. If his trap is injured, he is completely limited on what he can do. But when everything is working together as it should, everything together gets bigger and stronger. And that's really what, when Darby Creek is my church, where we should be going. When Darby Creek is my church, I am mature enough to speak the truth in love. Not, Brad, you ain't shouldn't be doing that. Right? I'm not cross-armed. I'm going open-handed, open-arm. And I have that relationship that we can talk about things like that. When Darby Creek is my church, I am mature enough to speak the truth in love, to be a part of growing others in Christ. Hey, who knows our mission? Who wants to say it besides Charlie? None of the elders are allowed. Okay, if I could merge you two together, you'd be right on. So our mission is to glorify God by making disciples who know Christ, who grow in Christ and proclaim Christ. I worked for 6 months to figure out how I'm going to work that into my message. So there, no, not really. Which that will in turn will grow my church into a healthy ministering church. We want Darby Creek to be a church that ministers to everybody here, but also out into the rest of the world, whether it's our local economy and neighborhood, or it's going to Nicaragua or whatever. So when Darby Creek is my church, we can accomplish all those things. Your health is part of Darby Creek's health. So when Darby Creek is my church, I am my brother's keeper. So what are some practical ways we can do this? Get a meal or two with someone. So Greg's been talking about this. I see Andy doing this all the time. Just live some of life together. Where are you with being part of a small group? And is it hard to get to your small group more often than you actually get to your small group? If that's the case, maybe there's another small group for you. I know sometimes when Julie and Mark have wanted to be involved, we go to their house because it works better for them. So can your small group morph around the needs of your life? And there's some small groups that actually eat together and they're a small group together, so they've got one and two together. Engage in the ministries that we have as participants. Are you participating in the things that we do? There's a lot of reasons I can come up with why I can't do X, Y, and Z, right? But if Darby Creek is my church and my priority is to help that church grow by my growth and growing with others, then those other things to participate in become a higher priority, right? It is absolutely a war sometimes. Support the ministries we have by promoting them or helping to operate them. Do you tell people about the things that we are doing here at Darby Creek? Do you know the things that we're doing here at Darby Creek? And maybe that's an area that we should be doing better with our small groups, making sure everybody's on the same page. And then becoming a ministry leader. If you want to be absolutely miserable, become a ministry leader. No. If you want to grow in Christ, be a ministry leader. And if it's an area you're not comfortable with, that's okay, because we've been here half of my life, and we're still here. We'll help you. But become a ministry leader. Stretch yourself. And then ask, hey, I have a real heart for this ministry. Is that something we could do? There's some things that practically we may not be able to do because of our size or because of different things, but there's also this great heart that, hey, we want to help people who have a heart for others to go help others. So have conversations with us. Yep, my old school paper is getting behind on my new school iPad here, so pardon me while I catch up real quick. Okay, so there's just some practical parts of when Darby Creek is my church, being my brother's keeper. Guys, it would be absolutely a terrible thing if I didn't talk more about Cain and us. We all have the same genetic failures, predispositions, as Cain did. And Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were kicked out of paradise, but they evidently still had some relationship with God. And the work that was given to them before paradise became harder, but then, and they were farmers, but then when Cain falls, his punishment is even further, where he no longer has any blessing to be a farmer. He is cursed to be a wanderer. And he says, that is so great on me. I cannot take it. And God doesn't relent. God does put a mark on him so people won't kill him. But for the rest of his life, Cain is running as a fugitive. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart today, and you have not given him your life, you are a fugitive. The fact that you're here right now, God has put a mark on you that says, I'm going to let you live through this time and this moment so that you can hear my good word and you can hear about my salvation and you can come to believe in me. And that salvation is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you could be a part of a church. You can be a member. You can even trick us on the membership process. And we think that you really are a Christian, but it's really between you and God. Have you really said, God, I am a sinner. There's nothing I can do for my own salvation. I accept. Remember we just did communion? And communion is all about Jesus Christ is the only one who could pay for our sins and pay that debt so we're no longer a fugitive. So we have to share that with you. We have to share that in a way that you want to share that with other people. Come to Darby Creek. We believe in one way. We know that Jesus Christ is the way. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will become rich. You will no longer have any arguments. You will not struggle with any of the sins that are in your life. Don't make me holler. Don't make me shout. Turn them pockets inside. No. You're still going to struggle. You're going to need a strong church. You're going to need this family that you're growing with. And you're going to want to make Darby Creek as my church. All right. So next week, I am needed by the people at my church. So come prepared for that. Soak in this past week. If you have any questions or concerns about what I said, please get hold of me. DougC@DarbyCreek.org. Yep. And with that, I will close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for, again, our church family here. Thank you for the great life that you've given us. God, I just want to thank you so much for the people that have spent over half of their life here at Darby Creek and ask that you would bless them with growth and the desire to attain and maintain maturity and unity. And God, I pray for all the newbies here at Darby Creek that they too would just run full speed towards you and really loving your people. God, we give the rest of this week to your honor and glory. Let us be lights that shine in this world that's looking for truth. God, just take the scriptures that we heard today, put them on the tips of our tongue so that we are mature enough and we are so trusting in you that when we see the moment, we can say, hey, you know, I heard that the Bible says this, or at my church we do this, or Jesus Christ has done this for my life. God, we give you the glory for the time that you've had Darby Creek as a church. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, and God, we just ask that you would bless us with great ministry for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.